Now, Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Look what Christ had to go through. You see, whenever we get to feeling sorry for ourselves and we get that picked on feeling, I've had that. You probably all had that. Why, Lord? Well, I tell you what. Christ He didn't deserve any of it, did he? But he did it willingly. Now let's pick it up here in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So Christ's life in the flesh was difficult. And was heard, and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And so when we have suffering, we need to learn. Christ learned. As a matter of fact, through becoming a human being, God was perfected. Not that God was ever not perfect, but through what he did, he was perfected even more. Verse 9, and being made perfect through all that he went through, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So I hope this will help us, encourage us, let us know that we're doing what God wants. If the things come the way that they come, then the only thing we can say is, your will be done, God. During the break, the question came up concerning divorce and remarriage. So I'll cover some of the aspects of it, not every detail of it, but some of the overall principles which are important. Okay, let's come to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. There are grounds for divorce. They're very narrow, but there are grounds for divorce. Now let's pick it up here in verse 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing or a bill of divorcement. But I say to you, of course, you know, what they did, they could put them away for anything, you know, burn the biscuits, whatever. Just put them away. And that's much what we have today. Today we have a lot of it, they don't even get married. They just live together, which causes great confusion. And they never learn to overcome. They never learn to work as a husband and wife. See, every marriage is going to have its ups and downs. That's just the nature of us as human beings. See? Now, we would all like to have a perfect marriage, wouldn't we? Where everything was just fine, no problems. No harsh words, no arguments. You agreed on everything, loved each other. You lived on this plain right up here, about 10 miles above everybody else. That's what we would like, but See, if life is like a bowl of cherries, remember, they have pits. And of course, when we have ups and downs in our marriages, this is to help us to learn to trust God more, to learn to love each other more. It's easy to say, I love you, when everything is going smooth. It's hard to say, I love you, when it's tough. And especially if you feel you've been picked on, whether a man by his wife or a wife by her husband. That never happens? Verse 32. But I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, or you can put their husband likewise, except, or that is, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Now there are grounds for divorce, and here it is. Fornication in the Greek comes from porneia. And that means any kind of sexual immorality. And today you've got hundreds of different kinds of sexual immorality. Now, why is that grounds for divorce? Well, let's come to Matthew 19 and we'll see. And all of that is part of understanding the marriage estate. All of that is understanding why God made us male and female. And if we understand that and use that as the goal in our marriages, then we can overcome the difficulties, we can grow in love, we can grow in grace and knowledge with God, we can love each other, we can accept each other. You see, and part of the problems come about many times this way, is that you are perfect, but your mate is not. And if your mate were perfect, then everything would be just fine. But the only trouble is both of the husband and wife think the same thing. So they never really make any progress. So the whole purpose of marriage is this, Matthew 19 and verse 3. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause, or that is, any cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read? I love it every time that he says that to the Pharisees, because they pride themselves on knowing the word of God, but they don't read it. So he says, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And the whole purpose is to establish a family unit, to bring children into the world. And as husband and wife, in doing so, you are participating in the creation of God. Here's what William Tyndale wrote in his book, The Obedience of a Christian Man, and he wrote this in the, I think it was about 1530s. And this is talking about children. God, which works all in all things, for a secret judgment and purpose, and for his godly pleasure, provided an hour that your father and mother should come together to make you through them. He was present with you in your mother's womb and fashioned you and breathed life into you for the great love he has unto you, and provided milk in your mother's breast for you against preparation for being born. Moved also your father and mother and all others to love you, to pity you, and to care for you. And so David Daniel said that's a tender beginning, you see. So when we understand that marriage of husband and wife to come together is one flesh, it is to learn the character of God, to participate in the creation of other people. And that's really quite a thing, isn't it? Now, if you want something which will humble you, and if anyone gets all excited and how great they are, just do this. Take a pen. Make a little dot with your pen. Go ahead and do that. You might not even be able to see it very good. You see that? That's what you were one time. So you see, God has a fantastic and terrific plan, doesn't he? Now, even in spite of the fact that most people don't want God in their lives, God still blesses them with children and things like this because it's God's purpose to expand his kingdom, to expand those who will come into the kingdom of God down through time. And all of this is worked out in marriage. But today we have all the perverted things, don't we? Living in Sodom and Gomorrah, we have men with men, women with women. And all of those things are perverse and against God. So much so that they're even coming out with a Bible where God is called Father, Mother. It's already printed. It's the inclusive version. I gave a sermon on that yesterday up in Waco. So when we live in a society that is so perverse as it is today, and so much sexual immorality going on, that those are the grounds for divorce. Now also we have a situation where let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. You also have a situation like this. Not only is there sexual immorality, but you also have the problem of violence. And violence would also be a grounds for divorce. It's very akin to sexual immorality. Now, the Apostle Paul made it clear, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Now, when there are no grounds for divorce, and there is a separation, then God does not expect that person to remarry. Now, especially in the church. Verse 10. But unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. So this shows that God wants us to work out our marital problems. Now sometimes they may get very strained. But you see, you build character when you learn how to work out your problems. When you learn to love each other and in spite of the difficulties. When you learn to accept each other and each other's weaknesses. And you learn to overlook many things. And that way you can increase in loving each other, having a stable marriage, and all of those things come with it, but you have to work at it. Now, it's not like Rex Harrison when he sang the song in My Fair Lady. Remember that? Why couldn't a woman be more like a man? Well, a woman can't. She wasn't made that way. A lot of women probably think, well, why can't a man be more like a woman? Well, God made us opposites. But you see, in the marriage estate, then we are to come together as one unit. To become one flesh. And that's what God has provided. That's why he said, be reconciled. Now let's continue on, verse 12, because this talks about some other things concerning marriage. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Now, this is an important thing in understanding. In the past, too many people have wanted to get rid of their wives or husbands, so they create problems just for the specific reason of getting rid of the husband or wife. And I even know of a case where two ministers divorced their wives and literally swapped wives. Well, there's no grounds for that. That's just plain living in adultery. So if you have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife, love them. Encourage them. Maybe you can inspire them to want to find out about God because your behavior towards your husband or wife is so much more improved because you're converted. Now, sometimes that's difficult to do. But if we take it as a challenge and if we look at it that way and realize that God will bless us in it, now that doesn't mean that it's going to come smooth and easy, maybe difficult. But nevertheless, I've seen that happen many, many times. And never take the attitude, well, you know, my wife is unconverted or my husband is unconverted. And then you begin to treat them harshly. Don't do that. Don't do that. If God hasn't called them, don't worry about it. Let God do so in his own time. One thing for sure, only God can convert a person. So you can't convert your husband, you can't convert your wife. But if you have the right example, maybe because he sees the change in your life, that your husband or your wife will respond to that. Okay? Now here's another category, as we'll see here in a minute. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 7, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, God gives a special blessing. See? And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, or else your children were unclean. But now they are holy. And what happens when there's divorce and there are children involved? Creates great problems, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So this is why God wants us to make every effort. This is why God does not give divorce at the drop of a hat. Because I'll tell you one thing. Through the years of being married, when you're able to overcome the problems and difficulties that you have as husband and wife and learn to love each other more, there is a great satisfaction in your own life as well as a great satisfaction for God. Because God is pleased when that happens. Now, verse 15 is the other category. But if the unbelieving depart, now, this is not to have the believer make the husband or wife depart. This is not for the believer to depart because of the unbeliever. This is where the husband or wife would say, I can't stand this. I can't put up with this. And I am out of here. Now, sometimes that'll happen. And when that happens, it says a brother or sister is not under bondage. That means that marriage is not bound. They are not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what do you know, O wife, whether you shall save your husband? And how do you know, O man, whether you shall save your wife? So we don't know. So there again, we have to walk by faith. Let God intervene and help us. Hold your tongue. Don't get mad. And remember this. Anger never produces peace. Nor does it produce love. And so this is why God has it that way. Now, what if a person is married and divorced before God calls them? Well, in such cases like that, that marriage would not be binding because you have not been called to the knowledge of the truth until after the divorce occurred. So therefore, you would be free to marry within the church. And you have to come, God also works it out that you have to come to a point one way or the other, where there are so many problems out there with people in the world, with their marriages, with their children, and things like this, that when God calls them, there comes a point that you have to say, okay, you repent, all right, all of that is in the past. That is buried in the watery grave of baptism. And because of that, if you marry again, don't make the same mistakes. So that's the best I can do in just an overview of divorce and remarriage. Now, each particular person's circumstance may be different one from another. And that's why in going over divorce or remarriage, each one has to be handled individually. Okay. Now, let's come over here to verse 39. Verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if the husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. It's the same way with husband and wife. If your wife dies, the husband is free to marry. The husband dies, the wife is free to marry. Because marriage in the flesh is until death, with the exceptions that I've covered. Okay, any other question? Okay, the question is, what is only in the Lord? That refers to marrying someone who is converted, I am sure. I wouldn't think it would refer to anything else other than that. Now, although I would say this, since this is his judgment, I've seen a case where a man just, there's no one in the church to marry. Now, what do you do in a case like that? And what if you meet someone who is very amiable to what you believe? And that person is willing to marry you and accept what you have and what you are. Well, in that case, then, that is still in the Lord, simply because even though they're not converted, they accept what you are doing and are willing to live with you. See? So that comes under the in the Lord. If you have an unbelieving wife or husband be pleased to dwell with you, that is still in the Lord. Because there are some cases where, especially when we're scattered, you know, who are you going to meet? Who are you going to marry? And like Paul says, it's better to marry than burn. So you have all of that. So you see how each thing becomes a separate judgment when you come down to it. Question is, whosoever should put away his wife, does that also apply to a woman who puts away her husband? Yes, it would. Yes. Today, yes, it would. Back then, it was very hard for a woman to get a divorce, so that's why it's referring to the man. What about in the case of an alcoholic or someone that is on drugs and things like that? Yeah, that's a real difficult situation indeed. And there could be grounds for divorce and possible remarriage, but it would have to be gone into on an individual basis in order to get all the circumstances involved. See, now what if you marry someone who didn't tell you that I've been a druggie all my life? Well, then they've lied to you. Is God going to bind you to a lie? No, he's not. But if in these situations, when they come up, when those situations do arise, then you can't be delaying a separation from those situations. Now, I know a case of a woman who knew that her husband was a philanderer and slept with almost anything to walk by. And she accepted it. Well, I told her, since you accepted it, you're bound. If you accept that kind of behavior and live with it and know it and continue with it, then God will bind you to it. Yes, God told Hosea to go marry a harlot and have children of a harlot. Okay. What about abusive? That depends on the definition of abusive. To some people, abusive means one thing, another one means another thing. So it's not possible to make a judgment just by saying they're abusive. Oh, physical abuse. Well, there, like I said before, if there's violent physical abuse, then that's possible that there could be grounds for divorce. But again, that's an individual case.